Hello everyone, you're with Karine Rayson from The Crew Coach on the Wellbeing Project. My background is in psychology and organizational psychology. I was working as crew in the industry over a decade ago, and I now support crew in the areas of leadership and mental health. I do this through my Gesayami Advanced Leadership Course, online counseling, and exclusive membership for Yacht Crew. This week on Yachting International Radio, I interview Nadine, who shares her experience around yacht management and DPA. I did a poll on social media recently, and I received an influx of messages from crew, one of them being Nadine. So I'm very grateful for her to come on the show and share her experiences with us. So we had an influx of crew participate in the poll and share their experiences. Nadine was one of them, and I'd like to welcome Nadine to this particular show and having the courage to share her experiences, because I've no doubt that this will help others. Often we can feel very alone or isolated in our situation, but hearing someone who's gone through a very similar experience kind of normalizes, and not that bad behaviors that occur on board should be normalized, but you've got a sense that you're not alone in this process. So welcome, Nadine.
Thank you very much, Karine, for having me. I'm very excited.
Excellent. Well, the timing's perfect. I've got the telephone ringing in the background. I mean, who has a landline these days? Only on a farm. But let's get into it. Nadine, do you mind sharing a little bit about you in terms of how long you've been working in the industry for and your current position?
Of course. So I have been in the industry for about 9 years. Like I said, that solidifies me in the dinosaur department, I think. I've recently taken some time out of the industry, which turned out to be one of the best decisions I could have made. So highly recommended for anybody that considers it. During that time, I started doing my yacht person course with Sandra Jordan, obviously one of your very good friends, through the yacht person. And that ultimately was the starting point to think a bit more about, you know, standing up for what's right, personality types, resources out there for people to support yacht crew a little bit more. I had time to think about my journey and the experiences I've had on boats. And, you know, that feeling when you go to your cabin at night, you shut your door, and there's just this uneasiness that whatever you've seen or whatever you've been part of today, how can you ask for help? Who's there to turn to? I felt like that before, and I know a lot of other people have felt like that. And it's a shame that there's not more support or structures in place to support crew. So I think currently my title is somewhere in the region of second slash aspiring purser. And to be honest with you, I think 50% of my yachting experience has been very positive. 50% has been negative, unfortunately, specifically the last two vessels that I've worked on. They've been new builds, and specifically within that environment, you get to, everything's super transparent between owner's rep, management company, and then where does the crew fit in all to this? So that ultimately led me to just have a bit of more critical thinking about what's going on in the yachting structure. You know, I felt unsafe on board vessels. There was times where I lost all confidence in leadership. And I know from the poll that you put out that there's a common thread of all of that that runs through many people's heads and thoughts. I think yachting is incredible. I think it can be better at this stage.
Okay. So was there a particular response in the poll and where crew shared their experiences that struck you?
Yeah, so I think it was just when there were so many people complaining specifically about how the one person, that name you have to know from the start when you walk in onto a boat, the DPA. Mm. I mean, that gets asked in our drill quizzes and our ACCW, and that's the name you need to know, was ultimately the person that didn't really support crew the most. I mean, if we look at the DPA's description, what is their job? They're the middleman between the vessel and flag and the management company. There's very little human resources elements involved into that job description. So often you sit with a person where you don't feel comfortable sharing whatever's going on board. You sit with an independent land-based person that carries no a true understanding of what's been going on board the vessel. But ultimately, that person is employed by the owner and the management company. So if he's going to need to make a decision, it's going to be easy to sway that decision towards the benefit of the owner and say, for instance, the management company versus a junior crew member or whoever is the person that complained. And I think that needs to be changed.
Okay, so I know that in your message to me, you said that DPA is simply a name in the crew mess, and what you've just highlighted there supports that. So if you can expand on that a little bit more, what does that mean to you? And what should it be, the DPA?
So in my opinion, the DPA shouldn't be, this is now purely my opinion, but it shouldn't be the person that is in charge of the crew well-being or the human resources element. It should be a completely separate, independent, land-based party that is just focused on HR and on crew. And somebody that actually forms a relationship with the culture on board, where, you know, surveys are being done or profiling is being done on a consistent basis to see, you know, what is the culture on board like? Is there really any red flags? Is there anything that needs to be addressed on the crew on an emotional level? Psychologically, people need to check in with themselves. But unfortunately, in our industry, you have a lot of people that don't like to enjoy doing that. They don't like introspect. They don't like figuring out, you know, what can I do better? And especially sometimes with leaders, I think I mentioned this on our chat as well. I find it so refreshing when leaders have a big desire to improve themselves and to show the crew, I'm doing this course or this leadership course because I want to be better. And that's the type of leader, you know, we want. Mm. So in terms of like a human resources element, my opinion is the DPA should remain the middleman between whatever his job description is. But in terms of human resources, it should be a completely separate land-based entity that's got some sort of, you know, psychological training, like how to work in terms of negotiation and confrontation, and a person like yourself, which specializes in that, because otherwise you have a conflict of interest. Anywhere where there's money or power involved, that's how the world works. You know, that's always going to take the precedence. So yeah, I think that is ultimately the solution, is finding a company that solely focuses on that, on crew, on those elements.
I agree. There shouldn't be any collusion of any sort or personal relationships when it comes to such a party, because then confidentiality can be breached and that relationship changes in nature. So yacht management companies, now don't want to slam them, they serve a purpose, but what is your understanding of their purpose from a crew's perspective?
So like I mentioned earlier, because specifically my recent experiences has been new builds, I've had a little bit of an inside look into everything in terms of, I've seen, obviously yacht management companies are very involved when yachts are being built or the whole like brokerage element of it. So, you know, you meet the individuals that work for them. You have a lot to do with them and their intentions aren't bad, or it's unfortunately the whole structure that a yacht management company is built on is ultimately conflicting. If I think of a yacht management company, I think of three things. One, they're employed by the owner. So ultimately, they need to look after the owner's finances and benefit the owner. Whenever there's money in play, that takes precedence. I don't care what people say, but it does. Mm-hmm. Number two, they're also the vessel's ISM partner. So the same structure that's supposed to be looking after the owner, his wealth, his happiness, is now supposed to be looking after the vessel's crew safety and security. That's already a conflict of interest. Now, on the third leg, you've got them being the closest thing we have to like a human resources element. So now we've got this structure that's supposed to be protecting us, but we're third in line. So that's just never going to work. Wherever there's like financial responsibilities, now you've got safety management on top of it. That's a direct conflict of interest. So that's the first issue with, I think, the whole structures of how, and the majority of men, and I don't know all of them, but they all follow this recipe. And up until that recipe has changed, nothing else is going to change, because they're trying to satisfy too many areas but ultimately the focus is going to be the owner and the finances, because that's their income. So I totally get it. But you can't also then be a chameleon and do safety and security, because I've worked on boats where, you know, ISM has been a little bit brushed under the carpet if there was, how can I say, in terms of satisfying an owner, or you're pushing for his needs, and that ultimately leads the crew to feel unsafe again. Because I feel quite passionate about things should be done, you know, correctly from the start and be super transparent. So the only way that we can fix this is you have one company, the management company, focuses on finances, works for the owner, you know, that's their drive. You have a completely separate management company that runs the ISM independently, and these two get managed by flag and monitored that there's no conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. That's how that ISM company partner makes their money again. Mm-hmm. And then you've got your shore-based HR consultancy company that we just spoke about that focuses on the crew well-being in the working environment.
Nadine, I can see that you've given a lot of thought into this. I'm most impressed.
Is my answer too long?
No, I love the thoroughness. And if there were 20 of me, I would have started this HR company many years ago. But at this moment in time, there's one of me and a five-month-old baby. So it's very difficult.
So the baby's got about 18, 19 years to wait and then slot in.
Right. Hopefully it'll be a lot sooner. Okay. No, I can see that you care. And I think you mentioned in our chat about morals and values. And I think it's important to treat people like people. And to, you know, as human beings, we have a duty of care. No matter what position you're in, you've got a duty of care. So you mentioned transparency, working on new builds. It sounds like to me you were exposed to things that you've never seen before. Are you happy to talk about that?
Yes, I think ultimately there's going to be things in yachting. I mean, we know when we join the industry, it's driven by money and power. And when that comes into the mix, sometimes the wrong decisions are going to be made or things are going to be swept under the carpet. So I understand that because I chose to work, you know, into this industry. But with my specifically last new build, I think too many of these moments, these really uncomfortable, uneasy moments started happening where you work in a seniority position and you've got your junior crew member starting to feel unsafe or starting to feel uncomfortable or have this built up frustration about a vessel that's not even launched because they're witnessing essentially like a power circus. To be already the start of a project that's supposed to be fun and exciting and new, to me was just a terrible shame. So I don't know. I think the recipe, what yacht management companies are trying to achieve is pure and honest, but it just doesn't balance with the rest of the things that they're trying to manage. It's too many, it's like my fiance said, there's too many chiefs, not enough Indians, where there's too many things that needs to be done and plans that set up, but there's not enough people to ultimately do the work. And that's what I experienced specifically on the last project that I was ultimately involved with, where you speak with people from the management companies, but ultimately they're also reliant on the owner's needs and desires and decisions. And you need a strong company with a backbone that can say no to the owner and manage their expectations. And unfortunately that wasn't present at all in that process, which put a lot of stress on the crew, on the HRDs, which should have never been there.
Yeah, okay. What support was made available for crew who were feeling under extreme stress and pressure?
None, to be honest. I, on a personal level, you try to be there emotionally as much as you can for people and try to encourage them, but you can't hide things, you know. You can't, the reality is when they're there, it's there. We went through a couple of captains and changed, so the captaincy and like our leader consistently changed, and that was also a big element which put a feeling of uneasiness in all of us, and So yes, there was no support, really. There was just all of us looking towards a train that's going to be hitting a brick wall, and you're either on it or you're off it, but inevitably you know what was going to happen and what it was going to lead to. So to me, that was quite a shame in the whole process.
Yeah. Okay, so with regards to the structure that we work in yachting, mm-hmm. a hierarchical structure, and you mentioned it being very top heavy, the mm-hmm. issues come in, I believe, with the type of management style the leader chooses to employ. Mm-hmm. And with a lot of, let's say, old school heads of departments, captains, the mm-hmm. autocratic style of leadership is mm-hmm. not suitable for all situations. Yes, if okay. there is a crisis on board or there is a fire on board, for example, and you need to direct people very efficiently, then absolutely. But in terms of everyday style of management, I don't believe it's the way forward. What are you, or based on your experience, what leadership style has been effective and non-effective? So a leader that you've worked under who you've admired, and what have you admired them for, and someone that you perhaps don't respect, and what are the reasons for that?
I'll start off with the bad one first and then work myself to the good side. Unfortunately, a lot of leaders get chosen on vessels, especially when it's private vessels too, based on who the owner likes and who the owner can stomach around him or her. Mm. And a lot of the times it's not the best leader. So you get people jumping the ladder, which are not ready for roles, not ready for the responsibility, and has absolutely no clue how to manage a team and everything that goes with it, that now reaches the top. And ultimately, the owner only cares about seeing that person in the top and not everything else that happens behind the scenes, because it gets covered up. So I've had a couple of situations where that was the case, and where we all know it's not somebody that's been chosen on merit. And when that specifically happens, you already have a little less faith in that person than you should have, or than the person that you thought was going to get the leadership role, because they ultimately deserve it and they're the hardest worker. So now you put into a position where you think, oh, okay, well, I have to play the game right then, otherwise I'm not going to get to the top. And nobody of us wants to really think like that. But when that becomes a part of an element into the whole equation, then naturally you do find yourself sometimes playing the game a bit. And I'd step back and be like, oh, that's not me. That's not that's not who I am. So a lot of my experience as I got older and as I moved into leadership has been, you know, structures to protect me against things that's happening around me. And that to me is just, that shouldn't even be there. I shouldn't even be putting my energy into these protecting structures so that whatever's happening on the boat doesn't affect me. As long as I'm doing my job right, that's okay. Mm-hmm. And then with good leaders, I think, communication and leaders being truthful about when they've made mistakes, when they don't know the answers. I think we live in a day and age where sometimes people just don't listen, do they? The immediate reaction is to just respond. And I find that a lot in yachting, like you have to know the answer. You have to always have a solution. Mm. I had a leader once where she said, do you know what? I don't actually have the answer to this. I'm going to get back to you on it later today or maybe tomorrow. Just let me have a think about it. Mm. And I really respected that, and I kind of incorporated that into my own management style, because that's very important to check in with your team every morning and every evening, so that you can pick up if there's anything going on, not so much on a work base, but to performance manage them in a healthy, positive way. But that's not just the job list you're ticking off, it's also picking up when there's an uneasiness in your team, and that needs to be addressed instantly. Especially when you work with a bunch of girls. Unfortunately, we are obviously a bit more hormone driven, and we don't like to talk about things as, I mean, guys fight it out and it's done and it's over. We build up, we're like volcanoes, aren't we? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the times leaders can, or chief stews, or can pick up on that, and they don't sit their team down and be like, right, we need to talk about it, let's get it all out there. It builds up, and it creates cattiness, and that to me is very, very unfortunate. So I think, yes, communication and truly listening to your team and being honest when you don't have all the answers is what I respect the most.
I love that. That's called vulnerability. And it is.
It's really important
because it makes you more approachable and it's a fast way to build a rapport with your team members. So two more questions for you. The second to last, if someone is self-doubting, so say something happens on board and you're like, did that really happen? Is that normal? What would your suggestion be with someone who's sitting with that information and is perhaps fearful or feels that their safety is threatened?
I've unfortunately only worked on boats where there wasn't a structure put in place to report these type of things. Because ultimately, when you're dealing with an uncomfortable situation, you want to go to somebody that you know, A, has got your back, and B, has had the loyalty to either keep it to themselves and to deal with you through it, but not to, take it to the wrong people. You want to have that, and that means that there needs to be a person that is in charge of that. I think that, say for instance, if you look at management companies, right, they appoint these safety officers on board, which is a completely like independent appointment based on your CV and your qualifications. We have a safety officer on board. They look after the health and safety environment. That's their job. So if anything happens, it's not the master, you go to that person. I think exactly the same should happen with a human resources officer on board. Mm-hmm. You've got your management company. They look at everyone's all of the HOD CVs. They see, this person is definitely more skilled. They've invested into management courses, or they've done some sort of HR course. Let's give it to this person. Completely independent from the master, because let's face it, the captains can't always get everywhere where they should, understandably so. And you've got an independent person that focuses on the human resources elements. That person is on board. They know exactly the culture, what's going on. And any concerns or any uneasiness can be reported to that person. And then there's a process of working with it. And I think that's where the role of the DPA kind of gets replaced, where you have to have someone on board to understand the culture and somebody that's qualified to deal with these things and issues and is selected for that. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, that would be my solution. But I think on the boats that I've worked on previously, there's just not been any structure like that. When I felt uneasy, like I said, I've had the opportunity to work with my partner for 4 years. So he's been the person I've been, talking about my feelings and thoughts, which has helped me a lot. But if you don't have that, I think it can become very hard and tricky and really isolating too.
Yeah, what I'm hearing you say is the value of having psychological support as well as the resources to manage difficult situations. And I think I mentioned this to you on a voice note. I have a membership that actually Sandra is a part of called TCC Tribe. And what that does, it provides a safety net for crew members to come to discuss any challenges that they may have and get the relevant support. On top of that, they're continuously getting upskilled in very specific areas, whether it be leadership or stress management. We've covered so many different topics, but it's at their disposal whenever they need. And I think that makes a huge difference, having a positive support network towards building resilience around mental health.
No, definitely, I agree. And this culture should be encouraged on board. I think every yacht has a certain budget for training that's provided for crew every year. People that are going into potential leadership or has made a transition from a second to a first to a chief stew or just anybody that shows potential to go up in the leadership structure, that should be offered to crew. I think another important thing is also people reach the top, but then there's nobody else to check up on them or check over their shoulder that they're actually doing their job. There's no performance review or management review format that's put in place on board vessels. In my opinion, if you get to be captain, you need to be reviewed yearly by your ISM partner or quarterly or whatever that is. If you are an HOD, the captain reviews you again. You know, you should be writing out a job policy about what you want to achieve with this department. How are you going to get there? And then that, those goals need to be reviewed so that there's this thing of you're at the top, but you can't just do anything you want to do, because that is unfortunately an environment that's been created on board, specifically yachts. So that to me would be a very important important starting point, is just get a management review format system on board for captains and for HRDs, so that people know once they've reached leadership positions, it's a position of power, isn't it? You've got so much influence. You've got so much opportunity to do good. Why would you use that for bad then? And then for potential leaders or leaders in positions, it should be compulsory to do these HR management courses. Because not everyone, like I said, has got the ability to on a psychological check in with themselves, or you know, have carry introspect, or even see sometimes what they're truly doing wrong so that they can improve themselves. Mm. And that should definitely be focused on.
Mm. Well, I'm pleased to say that we cover that in the Crew Coach 3-month advanced leadership course, which I hope one day you will do. But yeah, we go into depth about performance reviews. I highly believe in 360-degree performance reviews. I've seen some performance reviews conducted by yacht management companies, and it's very brief. It's like a tick and flick, and you're not eliciting any information whatsoever. And yeah, that's not doing anyone any favors. So I think looking at what the gaps are in terms of how to create a fully functioning team, and then closing those gaps with knowledge, the right knowledge, is critical.
Yes, no, you're 100% correct.
Nadine, thank you for your time. Thank you for your share and your valuable experiences and insights. I really, really appreciate it. I have no doubt our listeners are going to walk away with many takeaways.
And thank you and what you're doing for the community, and you know, putting your neck out there for people. It's really seen, and it doesn't... I hope it gives you the same reward that it gives for people like us. So I really appreciated this interview.
Oh, thank you, Nadine.
Thank you.